Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. Sean Ross Sapp here, talking WWE Monday Night Raw for December 16th, 2024. My second show here with Ibu. Last week, I had to make an abrupt trip to Dallas, do some interviews, which you can see here on this channel and podcast platforms everywhere. Also got to see my Bengals beat the Cowboys. That was fun. But we got Ibu back here this week. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm refreshed, feeling good. I got to eat before the podcast. I was nervous. I ordered food at like 8:30, right? And I was like kind of freaking out about like.
What'd you order?
Penne vodka and a chicken parm sandwich.
Okay.
Yeah. So I ordered the food and I'm freaking out because I don't want it to come late. Then I got to rush and stuff my face right before we go live and I just come in like a bloated fat piece of shit. But didn't happen, you know, came on time, everything was cool, but I'm feeling good. I have some takes to give on this episode of Monday Night Raw, a very electric opening to the show, one that I may or may not have ripped my shirt off for while I was watching.
Yeah.
But we have new tag team champions, finally. Thank
that we
God
do.
Almighty. So
one of the worst reigns of all time. One of the worst ever.
Speaking of worst reigns of all time, we have a match set for the women's championship, Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley. They're going to finally blow that one off. We'll have information on when that's going to happen. So some Netflix setup, some good stuff, a good main event, a title change, a hot opening angle. So I'm ready to go, man. The second week on Fightful, I'm locked in.
A few quick plugs. Fightful Award voting is now available for paid subscribers and free subscribers. We're going to use a unique formula there, but a lot of ones that really surprised me. YouTube and podcast platforms everywhere. We have interviews with Tony Khan, Gabriel Kidd, Mina Shirakawa. That one has just blown up. Man, she was incredible. And she promoted that interview more than anybody I've seen it promote an interview for us. So big thank you to her for that. Big Boom AJ tomorrow here on YouTube. We also have Shane Taylor later this week. Very interesting one. We have some videos from the ticket on sale presser. But over at Fightful Select, we've just got a whole bunch of TNA departure news, and we've got a lot more contract news coming your way. $5 a month, $54 a year. Greatly appreciate it. For some reason, at about 9:10 last night, I got an influx of new subscribers. That was awfully nice. I greatly appreciate you guys for doing that and the kind words in relation to that work. So thank you all. If you're here, leave a thumbs up, drop a fruit emoji. Let us know that you're here, by God. And if you want to get your question or statement read on the air and addressed by a couple guys who have some sources in wrestling and, you know, have put some stuff out there, drop a super chat or a humper chat. You can do that here at youtube.com/Fightful. But if you're one of the thousands watching on X or Twitch or Facebook, go to humperchats.com. That's H-U-M-P, like a camel or other recreational activities that you may be partaking in. Humperchats.com. By God, let's jump into it. CM Punk comes out and cuts a promo. This guy's old as hell, Ibu. Why is your dude so old?
You know, it just kind of happens. Like the passage of time just takes place, and over time, your hair begins to gray and your bones begin to creak.
He's talking about Liberace, Ibu. Liberace died in 1987.
You know how you know this was Phil's promo and not a script written out to him? The fact that, like, the tell with Punk is always his references. It's very just CM Punk, I was born in 1978 references, you know?
Yes. I mean, Liberace gone for 37 years, but I thought this was fun. I thought it played to both CM Punk and Seth Rollins' strengths. He talked about how whiny Seth Rollins is and took his shots there. Seth Rollins showed up, and I felt like Punk fell right into Rollins' trap as he's out in the crowd, because Punk is saying, like, you're out there with the fans where you should be. And Rollins is like, I don't look down on these people. Like, what do you?
Like, that was a great retort.
The mic up to his face. Like, oh, you look down on these guys, huh?
I kind of wanted Punk to call him a mark, which he did not do. So maybe someone was like, hey, look, no, do what you want out there, but chill out. You know, don't call him a mark, right? You know, WWE's on fire right now. And it's because we don't use those insider terms on TV. But there was some good back and forth with the verbal banter. Like you said, Punk played right into Seth freaking's trap, because he's calling him out. I noticed there was no theme song cue. There was no interruption, no burn it down. Right through the crowd. I like it. It's immersive. It's a good angle, you know. And they both had their jabs, man. Seth didn't look bad in this interaction, you know. He had some shit for Phil. Before we get to like where this thing really blew up, I enjoyed the verbal back and forth, and they knew it was time to ramp this one up, because as has been widely reported, we're doing this thing on the Netflix premiere.
They get into a brawl. We'll get there, but they get into this huge brawl, which I thought was so good. Admittedly, I gotta say, I hate to be that guy, but anytime Phil does anything physical, I'm like, careful.
Because
you just never know, man. But things have been going good so far. Makes me very happy. I love this. I love a big fight on Monday Night Raw. It's how I came up. I long for the days a few years ago when Roman Reigns was defending the world title on SmackDown, even. Like, absolutely. I love big fights on TV. And WWE right now has limited their PLE offerings to 5-6 matches. And this gives them that ability. And I know there's plenty of downtime on those PLEs, and that's another story for another day. You know what's funny about that, Ibu?
What's up?
A WWE rep hit me up kind of giggling about it, because James Lynch, who covers MMA full time, covered Survivor Series for us. And you know, there's that account that's like WWE downtime, and it talks about all the downtime there.
Yes.
James Lynch is like, man, it's paced way better than the UFC. Like,
that is true. If there was a UFC downtimes account, that would look fucking insane, because I've watched some of those shows. You got main events starting at like 12:45 Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, the rule is, in the fight world, you don't start a main event before 12 a.m. Eastern, because it's 9 on the Pacific Coast and all that stuff. And nowadays it's like 12, like you said, 12:45. So I thought that was kind of funny, but obviously they were going to load up Raw on Netflix. This is something that Fightful had reported a while back, and I had people saying, oh, you're doing PR work for them? No, it's what the people at the Intuit Dome were told. They were told to expect a big show. But so far, we got Seth Rollins, CM Punk. We know John Cena's going to be there. We assume Cody Rhodes is going to be there. But by God, man, that hell yeah, I'm down for that. The brawl was good.
Yes.
And I love that Seth Rollins just extorts Adam Pearce into matches. Like, that's just, he's basically like, I'm going to hijack your show every single week unless you give me the match that I want.
You know what's funny about Adam Pearce? I told my friend about this. Like, his first few years in WWE TV, he was more of a passive boss. And he was very much like the guy that was kind of getting wrangled around, and he just kind of was driven to drink by people. Like, women would run in and be like, hey, Pearce, what's going on? And he would like be like, oh, I need a drink, right? And now, like, the last year, he's like Perk Pierce. He's just like on 10. He screams his head off every week. Every week he's like, stop it, everybody, please, enough. We're going to do this next week. Ah, you know, so now he's like one of the fucking, when I see him yell, I think of Fred the Fish from SpongeBob. He's just always screaming his head off. But Rollins extorted him, as you said. They set the match up, and I thought Rollins had a great night tonight, Sean.
He had a wonderful night.
Not just from a performance standpoint, which was on point, but the writing of his character has been excellent since the Build a Survivor series. You know, because if you remember, Sami Zayn wanted him to be a part of his War Games team. And he basically was like, no, go fuck yourself. Roman Reigns is a horrible human being. Yeah. You're an idiot for even wanting to work with him. And, you know, wrestling being wrestling, a lot of fans assumed, oh, this is a 4-week build to him changing his mind and hugging Roman. And, like, I suspected that was a possibility. But the truth is, that would be awful character writing and character assassination because, Seth, you gave up your knee to stop this dude at WrestleMania. Why would you change your mind in exactly 6-7 months? And not only has he stood on business with that, he is a nuanced character because he doesn't fuck with Roman Reigns. But that doesn't mean all of a sudden, oh, so now I'm aligned with Drew McIntyre. So exactly. Now I'm gonna immediately. No, he told Drew, like, dude, Sami and Jay are my friends. I don't agree with their decision, but they're my friends. I'm not you. I'm not crazy. I just don't fuck with CM Punk. I don't fuck with Roman Reigns. Now, obviously, that's going to evolve over the next few weeks, and that's going to be very fun to follow. But again, from a character writing standpoint, a characterization standpoint, his motives are clear. His reasonings for why he feels the way he feels about every single person involved is really, really clear and good. And so it just makes him very compelling to follow at the moment.
Yeah, and I loved that. The backstage, he was like, when Drew confronted him, and Drew tried to find common ground with him. Drew was like, we're not so different, you and I. And Seth is like, no, we're nothing alike. Like, I really, really like Sammy and Jay. I mean, Jay earned his stripes on WWE Raw because now Cody bringing him there inexplicably never quite made sense to me. But everybody else treated him like he was an outsider until he proved himself to them. Mm-hmm. And he proved himself to Seth Rollins. He proved himself to all these people. And I thought that worked. Drew is in this fascinating spot along him and Kevin Owens are just two of the most fascinating characters because they are not wrong. They have not been wrong. They have been justified in like everything that they have done, that they have said. And it's a matter of, will somebody forgive and forget or will they not forgive and forget? Mm-hmm. And that's how Drew and Kevin Owens are. And I can't wait to see those two interact at some point.
Absolutely.
And be like, are we the only sane ones here? Are we the only ones that watched the show for 4 years?
Exactly. That's already been Kevin Owens' gimmick in general is, I watched the show. I use logic. You know, but here's the deal. Ultimately, Drew McIntyre will successfully pull Seth Rollins over to his side. Seth will join Drewanon. That's going to happen. Because at the end of the day, folks, hatred is all consuming. And I think that Seth Rollins.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots. And you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas' boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Is going to give in to his extreme disdain and hatred for CM Punk and Drew McIntyre. Roman Reigns. The exciting part about this, Sean, is you start to look around and you start to, you know, count with your fingers, right? And you notice, like, all right, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Drew McIntyre. Okay. And then you look at the other hand, you're like, all right, CM Punk, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn. You're like, oh my God. Or maybe you toss in a Roman Reigns. What do you know, Sean? A lot of big shows coming up. Saturday Night's Main Event, Rumble, Elimination Chamber. And you realize Raw's on Netflix also. There's a lot of international shows in March that you want to maybe have a hook for. I think it's time for some tag team matches, playa, because there's a lot of interconnected feuds right now to where you could do that. You could have some fun and do a couple tags, a couple six-mans based on some of the moral alignments of these characters.
Vin says, what did Triple H say about Ibu? I listened to that podcast and don't recall hearing his bane. What did I miss?
Okay, so last week I had some fun and I made a list of people that have some political stroke in WWE, you know?
And I want to say this, fairly accurate list from what I understand, from what I saw, pretty accurate list.
Well, there you have it, folks. That's Sean Rossap, the best reporter in the wrestling business, co-signing my politicians list. And look, man, I want to make it clear. Being a politician doesn't make you a bad human being. It just means that you're very passionate about your job so much so that you will, you know, do a little bit of brother-brothering to kind of get what you need. But the point is, I made the list. I did my Russell Pierce Raw review on the Tuesday where we had some fun about this, talked a bit more extensively about it, some of the kind of how things come about in WWE, decision-making, things like that, where talent fit in to kind of get their input in and try to get the stuff. Because, again, it's Mania season. People want to be in big spots at WrestleMania. It's fucking WrestleMania, right? But I do all that. And then Paul Triple H Levesque, the chief content officer, Sean Rossap, the guy that likes to walk in front of frames and say, in case you're living under a rock, WWE is on fire right now.
The guy who will absolutely kick off WWE Raw on Netflix.
120%. And he's going to say, are you ready?
I'm already excited for the Grapsody segment where they cover the credit boys, Triple H out there. Just, you know, he can chest bump a little bit, but you might spit some water and absolutely stuff like that.
The guy that at the end of every SmackDown likes to let you know that he is the executive producer of the television show, that Paul Levesque. So he was on a podcast with Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart, two players from my beloved New York Knicks. You can see the poster right above me. And he basically was talking about the backstage culture of WWE. And he basically was like, yeah, you know, it's funny. I mean, there's a lot of guys just out there. Like, there's people that, you know, they have this belief of what it's like backstage and the politics and all that. And I mean, none of it could be even further from the truth. But he basically was saying like, oh, you know, people are really interested in what goes on behind the scenes and they think they know what goes on and the politics and the political conversations, but they really don't. And then he went on to essentially say that WWE benefits from the fact that people are so interested in the behind the scenes stuff and the juicy gossip of the top wrestlers. And he essentially said, yes. And he essentially said that we were going to use that to their advantage. So he clearly somehow, some way, probably came across the post.
He did.
Yeah.
I once asked somebody if he uses a burner and they're like, no, have you seen the stuff he accidentally likes? He just uses his own account. That's what somebody told me. He just uses his own shit.
That's amazing. I remember he got caught liking some stuff on Instagram. I forgot what it was, but
it was like some sort of burial thing, I feel like.
Yeah, Tony was on Dan Lebatard, I believe it was. And Tony was essentially insinuating that WWE is like tampering with his contracted talent. Oh, yeah. And then it was like the picture was like an aggregation of the post of Tony saying this. And Hunter was like...
Tap.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Someone pointed out Punk last week or 2 weeks ago accidentally like retweeted a post and then just like unretweeted it. Yeah.
Because he's not been on there since, since CM Punk his foot injury.
Doesn't use Twitter. You know,
interesting.
So
interesting.
Right. I'll say this to Triple H's point, to Mr. Levesque's point, Mr. COO, Mr. Chief Brand Officer, King of Kings, the game, the cerebral assassin, Triple H. I'll say this about his point, the point he made about the behind the scenes being just as interesting. CM Punk realized this because last week, Sean, on the Raw review, on the Raw that we did not get to cover on air, punted the sit-down interview where he spoke to Jackie Redmond and told the story about Seth Rollins wanting to be trained by him and why he doesn't really understand what the Heat is all about and blah, 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 blah. The truth is they're walking a tightrope right now, and there's shades of gray in the sense that you know it, Sean, as somebody who reports. There is so much interest in the reality of CM Punk, so much so that there doesn't need to be that much curated fiction around him. You can simply pull from the reality to continue to draw interesting situations out of it. People want to know, is there heat with Punk and Seth still? Why do they even have a problem? What's the deal there? And they could simply go, let's just tell the story, because the story is better than any one that we could come up with.
And I said it on that Spaces I participated in, Rock and Ropes, last night. I felt like Seth played it perfectly. And I'm there on the other side of the camera while he's talking to Nick Hausman, and Nick's looking at me like, y'all see the shit I'm getting? Like, he was so excited. He knew it was gold.
Absolutely.
But Rollins said it. He didn't say it in the Colby Lopez voice. He said it in the Seth Rollins voice, to where there's plausible deniability there. And you go, is that guy working, or is he really not like him? Well, here's the secret, guys. He really didn't like CM Punk. Obviously, there's been some sort of amends made to some degree.
Or has there been?
I don't know. We saw them fight tonight. So, but how about we do some CM Punk news on Fightful Select this week? Some good CM Punk news. Some very good CM Punk news.
Does it involve dollars and cents, Sean Rossap?
Oh, it will. I mean, outside of the retroactive Ryan Nemeth report, I don't think there's been a bad CM Punk story in over a year. So
he's had a good little time here for a little bit.
He has. Corey David says, Ibu, Tony D will succeed in WWE. Respect the Don.
I respect the Don. I'm an ally of the Italian people. I have no issues with the mafia. At least I hope I don't. I just don't, unfortunately, think his gimmick has a high ceiling on the main roster.
I don't either.
And because of that, he's going to have to pivot likely to succeed. But the thing is, I could see a situation where you strip the gimmick out and what you have is Madcap Moss. This backlash from this, Sean, is coming because on the Wrestle Purse Worldwide show that I was on, Monty pointed out that this guy has an acting gig. And I said, good for him, because hopefully it takes off and hopefully he gets more gigs and he can just transition into acting instead of, you know, once this wrestling thing fizzles out. And people were like, wait, hold on a minute. What do you mean fizzle out? And I'm just, look, man, if I had two options, Sean Rossap, option A, this gig goes so great that he tells WWE, hey, it's been cool. I got a skedaddle. You know, when I got this little Netflix gig. Or option B, he gets called up, it doesn't really work out, and then God forbid he gets released. I'd rather he bow out in dignity than shame. You know, that's just me.
I think that he can be I think that they could use him as a tag team wrestler very well, but I don't know that the gimmick will allow him to go. I hope I'm proven wrong. I hope I'm proven wrong by that.
I just don't. Levesque doesn't really lean towards super gimmicky dudes at a high level. Like that type of act, that's the type of act he positions in the Alpha Academy position.
Yeah. Do you think Punk will sign an extension with WWE? I think he already did. I think they reworked the deal or something like that. Because they had signed a deal prior. And when I asked WWE, they're like, oh, it was like amending elements of the deal because so much had changed already. And then it was a let's see if you behave type of deal. And very clearly, not only has he behaved, he has been incredibly helpful to a number of the roster.
And he pops ratings in quarter hours, and he moves a lot of merchandise, and he helps sell tickets. And Nick Khan
sells
like,
subscriptions. Oh. Listen, I kind of wish he'd fight people. He'd sell some subscriptions for me, but. Yeah. Adam Legend says, shout out to you guys for the entertaining Spaces yesterday. Both got 4.75 from WON. Buddy, Wrestling Observer doesn't rate squashes, so mine didn't
That's
get
true.
4.75.
That's true.
Brandon says, if Tony's acting goes well, he can go back to wrestling. Listen, I think he would succeed as an actor. I really do think that he would succeed as an actor. I think a lot of the people that have been in that, like I think, gosh, what's the girl's name? Why is it escaping me? Adriana Rizzo.
Yes.
Because I've heard what her actual voice sounds like, and it is nothing remotely similar.
Oh, obviously. I'm sure in real life she's like, yeah, I mean, it's awesome being in NXT and on TV. She's like, hey, Tony, what are you doing? I mean, come on. You got to win the match.
Sounds like a GTA character.
Yeah.
Love it.
She sounds like a Jersey smoker mom or something, you know?
So. Well, you know what, guys? If you want to put money down on Tony D starring in a feature film before GTA, we got just the place for you to do it.
Whoa! You can bet on wrestling? Yeah, you can at BetOnline.ag. We've given you a bunch of underdog picks over at Fightful since we started to work with BetOnline.ag, but well before they were a partner, that's where we got our odds from for years. Whether it be major shows or your continental classics and other things like that, they always have a bunch of interesting odds for you over at BetOnline.ag. But it's not just that. Payouts in minutes, high credit card acceptance, a safe and secure environment, and they've been trusted for over 25 years. They got the earliest lines, the fastest payouts, and the ability to bet on wrestling. How cool is that? If you think you know so much about this, go put your money down. Go do it. Show the world. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can. BetOnline.ag.
Check it out, guys. They have Royal Rumble odds up now. BetOnline.ag. We have Chris Statlander versus Bryce Donovan, a WWE ID talent announced. And somebody says, thoughts on the first ever AEW-WWE match? This is not AEW versus WWE. I mean, this is an ID talent. It's not the same.
But the promotion that is holding this should absolutely market it as such.
For sure. Well, they are. I mean, I feel like that's probably a big reason why you do it. It's going to get a lot of promotion. We've already written the article about it. I think he's managed by Smart Mark Sterling, who is in AEW as well, which is interesting.
Who has a quick story time. I mean, in April of 2000, Mike Awesome, the then ECW champion, took a deal to go to WCW. And Taz, who was a WWF talent, was an ECW alumni and needed a deal where Taz came to ECW to defeat Mike Awesome. Mike Awesome went back to drop the belt. And at the point when that match happened, even though it was on ECW grounds, those are two wrestlers contracted to two different promotions. And Paul Heyman being, well, Paul Heyman, if you watch that episode of Hardcore TV or ECW on TNN, I forgot which show it was, you will hear Sean Rossap narration from Paul going, for the first time ever, WWF versus WCW ECW ring.
Of course. You know, of course.
So, and he kept doing, he wouldn't tell you what the match was. He just kept getting these like vignettes and ads like, what's going to happen this week on TNN?
Oh my God. Like when I've got over here a Blu-ray of the original ECW on TNN broadcasts that was put on there. And I'm like, man, people say that I clickbait just by teasing select subscriptions. They're like, they're like, guess who's fucking who? Call 1-900 run for ECW. And I'm like, whoa. Chill out.
Yeah, they'll do anything. They'll zoom up like Francine and be like, want to see more? ECW.
Who has to change their panties in 12 days?
ECW.com.
I was like, damn, man.
Hell yeah.
Insane. Ish says, saw on Twitter, Kyrie might be injured. Is that true? I mean, she was written off as FightfulSelect.com reported because Io Sky is replacing her. In a segment backstage by the Pure Fusion Collective. So she is written out of that, and I can't think of another reason why. Eddie Melendez says, Punk wins on Raw on January 6th. Punk faces Gunther at the Rumble. Goldberg costs Gunther. Gunther Goldberg Mania. Seth wins Chamber. Seth versus Punk for the title. Eddie, I think that is a realistic path. Ibu, your thoughts? It seems pretty clear. It's Goldberg Gunther. Which I will say, Gunther better not lose that match. I've got no desire.
Wait, time out. Goldberg Gunther at Mania or just in general?
Somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was about to have a heart attack.
Maybe even what? Saudi.
Maybe so. Can I yell at someone in live chat?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
All right. Osmanov, thank you for the spoilers and the thumbnails, clowns. If you don't want spoilers in the Raw review, don't click a fucking Raw post show. Why are you here? That makes you a clown, you fucking moron. What are you talking about?
Do you yell at SportsCenter? Like, thanks for the spoilers. Sorry.
Like, what is this guy talking about? Anyway, CM. Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Ryan says, think Raw will have the stars and SmackDown will have the workers' new stars, like the OG brand split. I mean, SmackDown, they paid for a lot of those rights. They've still got the Saturday night's main event rights on NBC Universal. They've got, I know there's going to be a lot of new, fresh, and it's going to be the hot new show. It really is. I hope they don't turn SmackDown into what it was in 2014, 2015, because I covered those shows weekly. I sat through all the repeat Dean Ambrose versus Sheamus matches and all that stuff. Some of the most uninspired stuff you will ever see at that point. The stuff that they would do over from Raw and then never mention again. I hope not.
It's like televised house show shit. I think this can go in two ways. It either turns into that or SmackDown gets dumped a bunch of guys. And on paper, the rosters look super lopsided. But as most people who've been following WWE for 20 years knows that historically, even when the rosters are lopsided, it's typically the show that looks more kind of shitty and underrated and shafted that ends up being the better professional wrestling program. Usually the show that has all the big stars and the talkers and blah, blah, blah. You know, people are like, oh my God, it's stacked on paper. And then the show somehow, for whatever reason, and it was a different regime, it just wouldn't hit the way you want it to. And it's usually SmackDown that got the short end of the stick, and the show would just be a good show because it was focused and had a smaller cast of more underrated guys. So it'll either be that or it'll either just like be a total nothing show.
Could you see Cody, KO, both be for the Winged Eagle and Undisputed leading to a new title? Probably not, but I could see KO bringing the Winged Eagle into that. Mm-hmm. I wish they would do a Winged Eagle-inspired new WWE championship because, I mean, like, listen, I know it's nice to have Patrick Mahomes out there with the big W and all that stuff, but which, I mean, shows you, like, there is no stigma about their championship among celebrities and athletes. Like, they all think it's cool because they aren't wrestling fans with an attachment to the most beautiful championship to perhaps ever exist. I would love to see something nice like that created. I mean, AI creates a whole hell of a lot of nice designs that they could use. They could find something better than just a W.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree. I think Kevin Owens is going to carry that Winged Eagle around for a couple weeks here.
I hope so.
Kevin Owens, I would expect him to declare himself the champion because in his mind, he defeated Cody Rhodes. He pinned him. He had him beaten. He was screwed. He had two referee bumps. Total bullshit. He packaged pile drove Cody Rhodes. He shoved Paul Triple H, Levesque, the CEO, the chief brand officer, the game, the king of the kings. And he's going to walk around and say, brother, I'm the fucking champion.
Black Yakuzu says, how do y'all feel about Cody getting You Deserve It chance after KO murderized him? One-off incident or signs of things changing or New York being New York? He did deserve it. He used the chair to beat Kevin Owens. And I understand that he didn't bring it into the fold, but it's very easy to point the finger and say, well, you're not so virtuous now, buddy. I think this is good. It's funny. I did a video with Denise today, and I know a lot of people have crapped on Cody's reign. Then when you think back to the individual matches and you're like, oh, wait, he had a slapper. Most of them have been
very good.
Yeah, Gunther and Logan Paul and AJ Styles. Not always the most creatively satisfying elements, but damn, in the ring, that man was killing it. But, I mean, this will not be an AEW situation. If they ever need to turn Cody Rhodes heel.
I don't think so.
Yeah. If they need to turn him heel, they will go heel. Like, they will do that.
But beyond that, I do want to make this point this out because people have been waiting for this magical moment where the WWE audience turns on Cody Rhodes, and people have predicted it for over a year now, for almost 2 years. I remember when he won the Rumble and people were like, oh, they like Sammy now. They're not going to cheer Cody, and they cheered Cody. Oh, they like this guy. They like that guy. They turned on The Rock for Cody Rhodes. I think broadly speaking, Cody's going to be okay.
When's the last time that a WWE audience has outright rejected a baby face? I don't know if it's happened during the Triple H era.
Yeah, because they're happy with the creative and they're satisfied with it. And they like the wrestlers that are being pushed.
Yeah.
And when that happens in a promotion, they typically won't reject you. The reason why we had so much rejection from fans of the top wrestlers was because the fans rejected the regime and the product itself. The truth was WWE was the only major game in town. And so if you liked wrestling, you had to at least try to consume it. And so it's like you have a lot of people out there who are like, I don't even fucking like WWE, but I like wrestling. So there's some guys I like, and I'm going to watch
said Rock, the show. Technically, that is accurate. That is accurate. Yeah. But that was like so far beyond a dumb decision, then they immediately corrected it. Vince would have pushed through.
Of course
Jester
he would have.
Design says, genuinely fun brawl to start the show. I was facing the ramp the whole show. That's a fun show. I know you got a double taping. We got Braun Breaker defeating Ludwig Kaiser, and I had broken some news on Fightful Select. This match was getting a lot of time, as well as the main event, because they're doing a double taping. So they're not going to ask a bunch of these guys to work twice. Their Christmas break starts tomorrow. They got 18 minutes to go out there and work. And listen, Ludwig Kaiser is one of those guys. He's got the Undertaker on podcast saying that's a guy in the future.
And that, he is and a guy.
He is. He absolutely is. Like, and he's delivering. You know, I am wondering throughout some of the Gunther attacks from Judgment Day, like, where's his boy? Where's his dude?
Yeah. Kaiser told Gunther on an online exclusive segment last week that, look, man, you told me you wanted me to be my own man and figure out my own problems, and you wanted to do the same.
And I was busy watching the Bengals beat the Cowboys. I missed that.
Good for you. And here's the deal. He sells that to Gunther, right? And he's being a bit snarky when he says it. And Gunther is basically like, is that so? And he's like, yeah. And he stood up to him like, yeah. And Gunther was like, you're fucking right.
I love it. Yeah. Love it. Braun Breaker is so special. This guy.
He's awesome. I love watching Braun. I love him seeing him doing dumb meathead shit. Like,
it's you great. Know,
a couple weeks ago, he did that like weird Mike Awesome Swanton where he just falls head first to the floor onto Sheamus. He ran into a table one week. This week, he just did that gigantic flying shoulder tackle from out of camera frame.
Like, I know a lot of people are going to compare him to his father and to Scott Steiner. I want him to study Ahmed Johnson and Scott Norton. That's who I wanted to do. When Scott Norton would powerbomb people as a child, I'd go, is he okay?
Speaking of which, take some of their fucking moves. Do the powerbomb. Do the Pearl River Plunge.
I would love a Pearl River Plunge. I would love a good, like, hang him over his shoulder breaker. Like the kind where the guy just flops down. That's what I want to see.
Hell yeah.
Braun Breaker gets the win. This is good stuff, man. This is just good. What more can you say about it?
Mm-hmm.
Talking about good, I'm loving all this stuff about New Day. I'm just really loving it. Like, they get kicked out of the locker room. That's something we hear about, but we've never seen play out on TV. We've never seen something like that happen. And it's Ray that does it. Who on this roster would maintain more of a level of respect than Rey Mysterio? This is a guy who, when I go to media events and you got Keldon Johnson of the Spurs there and you go, who is your favorite wrestler? Rey Mysterio. You're going to another media event and you talk to a celebrity that's there on WWE. Who is your favorite wrestler? Oh, well, I like The Undertaker and I like Rey Mysterio. He is that guy. So I think that all this hits so hard. This works so well.
Yeah, absolutely. Good on Rey Mysterio for doing that. Also, it's a nice callback. Rey Mysterio had that match with Xavier Woods a couple months ago where Xavier Woods did the mask trick-a-roo and got the win on him. Very disrespectful. How could you do that to a legend in Rey Mysterio? The New Day are a tag team. Rey Mysterio is going to need some help. Well, look at that. Dragon Lee's been a frequent collaborator of Rey Mysterio. You have some built-in tags there with Xavier Woods and Kofi versus Rey and Dragon Lee. So I'm looking forward to seeing that happen relatively soon. And this story beat of them getting kicked out of the locker room is a nice thing to – it's a good thing to remind the audience that this is a universe and that these things don't happen in a vacuum or in a tunnel. The choices that people make have implications on the wider landscape. And I spoke about that earlier with the Saffron stuff, but even here with the New Day thing, they did that to Big E, and guess what? Now the boys don't like him anymore. So, yeah.
Liv Morgan comes out, cuts a promo. I love the megaphone. I love it. Like, it is, I don't know if we've seen anybody do it besides, we have seen somebody do it since him. I believe it was Abraham Washington did a version
of
it.
Oh, my God.
I think I was there for that show where he ended up getting fired, which, by the way, that dude is jacked now. He is insane looking now. But I love it. I love it so much. We got Rhea Ripley come out and confront her and says, they got a title match coming up. Doesn't say when, but they got a title match coming up.
You want to know when it is, Sean Ross? Up?
When is it?
It's going to be on the Netflix premiere.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is a situation where I really adore all the ingredients involved, but good goddamn, am I ready for them to move on?
Yeah, absolutely. And all I could think during this segment, Sean, was three more weeks.
Yeah.
And we're finally free. I might do a musical number on that day, Sean. We'll be here on the we'll be here on the post show, Raw Netflix premiere. And you want to talk about The Rock showing up and taking Roman Zulafala, or maybe Seth Rollins somehow beating CM Punk, or God, I don't know, Lyra Valkyria is the new Intercontinental Champion. And you're gonna toss me the mic and say, Ibu, what did you think of this Raw? And I'm just going to fucking spring into action. You know what I mean? Just singing and dancing because the Rhea Ripley Liv Morgan feud is finally over.
KE775 said, I know she's doing Star Trek, but does Becky pop in and cost Liv the title? I think she may have already filmed it based on the way that she was talking. Also, good for her. I mean, I'm just very happy for her. I felt so bad that her thing got cut from Eternals that she did. But I could see that happen. I think that's something that could create some buzz, and Rhea gets her, you know, laugh on Liv Morgan, and Becky can continue that feud with Liv Morgan, and it's a little bit more fresh. Listen, you're going to have to deal with insufferable Liv stans acting like she has been buried and is, you know, never going to recover when, if anything, Liv Morgan has shown that there is, I don't think there's a way you can bury that woman. She's going to overcome that no matter what. But Joseph says, why do you hate Liv, Ibu?
I don't hate Liv Morgan. What I struggle with is they like to highlight her weaknesses a lot, number one. I don't think she's the best live speaker, and yet they insist on doing a lot of live segments with Liv Morgan. I think she's a good worker. She's not a great worker. And I think that the champion should be your best workers. That doesn't mean that she is without merit on the show. She is a star. She's gotten herself over. People care about Liv Morgan. Her act with Dominic is a successful one. It should absolutely be positioned. I mean, you have a women's mid-card that they insist on featuring, but so many of the ingredients are people that just aren't really catching fire, so to speak. Liv Morgan's a great person to be positioned there, whether it's the tag division or maybe this new IC belt or whatever it is, and kind of giving that some juice. I think certain people on the women's roster are put in the wrong spots right now. And the most eye-opening example of this was when Io Sky and Bianca Belair had that excellent match on TV a couple months ago. And I watched that. I saw that. And it's like that match that they just had was to set up a tag match because they are currently tag division wrestlers. And this is not to put a negative stigma on tag team wrestling, but you look at the level of ability that an Io Sky has and a Bianca Belair, and you think, I want to see that on the premium live events. I want to see those types of wrestlers get 20 minutes. And so I think that WWE should really take a long, hard look in going into 2025 about who are the people that we're putting in position to wrestle on the pay-per-views in those long matches? Who are the people that we think are reliable TV characters? Who are the people that we think are right for the live segments, this, the that? And so I say all that to say it's a positional thing rather than a ability thing. Liv Morgan has absolutely a lot to contribute in WWE. I also think, though, I don't think the agent thing did her a lot of favors either. There's been matches she's had this year where the work was good, and then we got to the closing stretch, and then it was time for a bunch of Judgment Day interferences. And by the end of the match, you forgot that the match was pretty good. You're like, man, that was fucking bullshit. You know? So a lot of those types of elements hurt my enjoyment of her stuff this year. I think things should be a bit better next year when her role is slightly readjusted.
He thinks that Liv needs a win more than Rhea because her reign was boring as hell. I think that WWE poorly books their women's title reigns in general. They, once they get their moment, it's a now what thing, and they very rarely have a what's next. Vin says, three key WWE women potentially due back at the same time. Lynch, Flair, Asuka. How do you feel about a powerhouse NWO style stable with these three to shake up the women's division heading into the flicks?
I don't think, see that happening.
I don't either, but I think that of those three you mentioned, Asuka is the most NWO style talent of the three, and it's not even close. Like, that's awesome. She is so like over the top and would play with like black and white colors and paint and stuff like that so well. But I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, I understand the idea, but two of those three women have always been about themselves on screen. I don't know how all that would work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, I'm just happy to see Charlotte back. You know, there was once upon a time, Sean, where I listened to the mob of people that would be like, ah, Charlotte just buries people. Ah, rah, 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 right. But at the end of the day, man, you got to appreciate greatness, Sean Rossap.
She's good.
Charlotte is a one woman dynasty. Yeah. We should applaud this. We should embrace it. We should not immediately bury it and go, ah, man, I'm sick of seeing her win. People have now turned Rhea Ripley into their new Charlotte figurehead of just like targeting the vitriol they have towards her. And, you know, again, I haven't loved Rhea's creative at all this year. And there's many Rhea Ripley segments that I've rolled my eyes at. But the idea that she shouldn't be booked strong or presented strong is nonsense. Every successful territory has strong good guys. The people lose their shit when she comes out there. Why would you weaken that by giving her 50-50 booking? She should kick the fucking shit out of everybody she wrestles. That's what strong babyfaces do in successful promotions.
We got Ryan saying, not asking for Cross to be a world heavyweight champion, but I think he's settling in nice as a mid-card heel. Good stepping stone for a new babyface. I like that he is always right with his psychoanalysis of wrestlers. And even when Drew did that thing that got a lot of attention on Busted Open, he tweeted about it and he's like, shame on you if you didn't check on this man over the last month. Like, there's some good elements to that. he forced Miz to accept a match with Dexter Lumis next week. I am not expecting that one to be a Matt classic, that's for sure. But
listen, yeah. I think next week Dexter Lumis and Miz are going to show you, Sean Rossap, that
be a tape show, buddy. I know that much.
I don't know, man. I think it's going to go.
That's an accident.
I think it's going four segments, and I think they're gonna.
Well, it's not. It's going to actually. Let me. I can tell you exactly how many segments.
It's one. It's one.
It is one, isn't it?
It's one. Yeah. It's a squash. Yeah. It's one.
Yeah. It's one segment. One segment.
Yep.
We get the zero vignette. Everybody believes it's Penta. Everybody believes it's Penta. You know what? But I'll tell you this, guys. Whether your present is in WWE, whether it's in AEW, whether it's in America or Mexico, Nord has you covered.
There's no sponsor that I use more while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. Man, this is like the Swiss Army knife, the multi-tool of applications. It does a little bit of everything. You always get a great deal at NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can listen to your favorites abroad. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on public Wi-Fi, and it works on all your devices and operating systems. It doesn't end there. Change your virtual location and then get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price, TV services at a much more affordable price. You've got a password manager, a file encryption tool, threat protections, and on top of that, 24/7 tech support. So if for some reason you don't know exactly how it works, NordVPN.com/Fightful will help you learn how to do it. Check it out, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
NordVPN bringing you guys the Fightful Awards very early in January. You can go to FightfulSelect.com, get your votes in now. We want to thank NordVPN for doing that. El Tanku says WWF Raw very good tonight, and it comes with zero fear. MASP says Phoenix is going to be pissed if Penta debuts. I think Phoenix is going to be pissed in general, but it certainly seems like it. I don't have that information as of yet. I asked a person in WWE who got back to me and didn't deny that it was him. He is able to sign there. The Raw on Netflix, I think, would be great. I think you immediately put him in something with Rey Mysterio where he's comfortable. He knows Rey. And you've got the most famous luchador in wrestling history against a guy who's about to sell merch like crazy. How you feeling, Abu?
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be interesting to see how they use Penta. He will not be able to be with his brother for about 8 months or so.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. So the question,
I think it works out though, because eventually, like, Penta's gonna be a baby face, man, and he's gonna need some help from for somebody. And then here comes Phoenix.
Yeah, it's like, okay, how do you give him some juice 8 months into his run? Boom, Phoenix, like you just said. In the meantime, just try to keep him engaged with certain things. People will probably stigmatize the fact that, oh, he's doing stuff with the LWO, of course. But ultimately, look, man, it's Rey Mysterio, the greatest luchador of all time.
I'm very excited to see Shane Helms, like, produce his match and be like, hey, man, let's do, like, seven less Sierra Mia. Like, can we do some of the – and, like, so, 10 in, you're going to see Shane be like, motherfucker.
Well, here's the thing. They're going to say that, and then Hunter's going to see how over it is. Like, it'll be like the new Yeet, and it'll be like, no, actually, keep doing that. Keep doing that. We like that. Yeah.
It's like in the strike battle. It's just, you know, boo. And then he just does that. He's not even going to hit the person.
Oh, man. The two-star Penta matches where he just said Romero's way through going to be glory.
Oh, my God.
He's, I'm telling you, man. And then Hunter's going to be at the presser, and they're going to ask him about the Cerro Miedos and all that stuff. And he's going to be like, I mean, we have a global brand. And what we do with this brand, it's global. You know, we have deals everywhere. We're watched everywhere worldwide on Netflix, and Penta, he helps us in that. And so we really
I saw a young child dressed like a goddamn skeleton earlier.
Exactly.
How can you hate that? Josh says, great job on the Twitter space, SRS. Thank you so much. I got a lot of nice tweets about that, and I really appreciate it. Gazardic says, thought it was a good rebound from last week. What do you guys give this Raw out of 10? What are your predictions for Punk at Mania? What are your predictions for Punk at Mania?
It's a good question. I think he's either wrestling. I think he has three people that he could wrestle.
Red Rooster.
I don't think he's in the running.
Roy Rogers?
I don't think Roy Rogers is in the running either. Okay. I think it's either Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, or Roman Reigns. And I would give Monday Night Raw a 7 out of 10.
Interesting. Zoe Stark defeated Caden Carter and Raquel Rodriguez. I thought this match absolutely ruled until the finish. The finish where Raquel had to hold the Tahana bomb up there for quite some time. And then, oh man, let me see. Did PW Insider just report literally the thing that I was about to report?
Oh, what did they put out? I was trying to, I saw it in the live chat and I tried to look it up, but I couldn't make it in time. What are they saying?
What is it? Somebody tell me.
Could you, man, they just blew the door. Boy. What do they say? You haven't found it yet?
Okay.
I hate when people give out of context info in the chat. Just tell me.
Yeah, what it is. Yeah. Like, just tell us. What the hell is it?
What the fuck it is?
Come on. What are we doing?
We're live on here. You want to see?
Ain't reading that super chat, Boris. You can send another one. Oh, Penta.
What are they saying? Oh, what are they
saying? Yeah, that's fine. I don't care about that. That's good. Good for Penta. Penta's gonna be great. He's gonna sell a shit ton of merch. Let me tell you guys this. Like, I'm sure Penta hates me. I'm sure he hates me.
You know, it's funny, Sean, the day he did the whole, my present is AEW, you know, that was in response to my report.
I know it was. So he probably doesn't like us, but yeah. Okay. PW Insider. Listen, Mike Johnson, he probably knows. He probably talked to somebody immediately, but Sean, I want to say this.
Probably literally
go back
like,
and watch Lucha Underground season one. At that moment, you could have put Brock Lesnar across the ring from Penta, and I would have been like, you know, maybe Penta should break his fucking arm. Maybe that's how this should be booked, because that's how well Lucha Underground booked Penta. That's how good he was on that show. And I can't wait for him in WWE. As I think he did great things in his AEW run, but damn, I really think that's the case. Yeah. I think it'll be good.
Good for Penta.
But Zoe Stark defeated Caden Carter and Raquel. The finish sucked. The finish was bad. but they were going all out during this match. I was like, all right, they're making the most of their time here. They got a little bit more time than they usually would have because of the double tapings. It sucks to me that the finish ended up bombing like it did, but I enjoyed this way more than I had anticipated. How'd you feel about it?
I didn't think much of it. I thought that there were some good ideas in the match. It was very heatless.
It's unfortunate, yeah.
Zoe Starks remains somebody who was mechanically very good, honestly. Like, she's quietly like one of the better workers in the division. She's still just not over, but I like watching Zoe. Yeah. She's a good wrestler. Caden Carter, good athlete. You know, she did a little bit of a commander cosplay in this match where she kind of jumped in between the second rope and the top rope and second rope and then the top rope and then did the Rana. I was like, all right, you know.
Yeah.
But where's Abrahantes? But yeah, it looks solid little match, I guess. And
go ahead. I think the reason why it is heatless is because a lot of these women don't get the opportunity to show the type of stuff we saw in this match. Like, a lot of these women can get over in the ring.
Yeah.
Guys, a reminder, get in your super chats. Get in your per chats. We would greatly appreciate that. I have an interview with Big Boom AJ coming out tomorrow. I got Shane Taylor this week as well. Man, it was one that he wanted to do. He had some things that he wanted to say, but it's a good one. It's a good one. And more contract news and what I think is a pretty substantial story coming later this week. Berserk says Raw is.
Are you saying, Sean, that maybe somebody is jumping ship? Somebody leaving their promotion to go to another promotion? Are you suggesting that Tom Latimer is leaving NWA to go to TNA?
Certainly ain't happening. Tom Latimer makes too much money right now for TNA. Jester Designs has almost lost my voice tonight chanting war. We got the War Raiders winning. Thank God. They should have won the first time, Ibu. Why do we need to stretch this out?
It's a marathon, not a sprint. Patience comes to those who wait. We tell stories, long-term stories in WWE.
This title reign sucked so much. It
sucked cock, yeah.
Yeah, not the fault of JD and Finn. They just, I mean, it became a bit that they didn't defend their titles, and it really, really sucked. I also loved the War Raiders vignette that they aired earlier because both of those men legitimately thought their careers were over. Yeah, Ivar was in Birmingham getting shit checked out earlier this year. He talked to me during an interview, and he said, I wrestle every match like it is my last because I know there's a real possibility it's my last. I'm just so glad that they won because, one, this terrible reign is over, and two, I think these are lovely guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that they told the real story. You got to contextualize a lot of this because it's like, again, yeah, you could view it as just a tag title match on a TV, but for these guys, it means much more than that for the reasons that you mentioned. These are two guys, both of which had neck problems. And we know in pro wrestling, those are very tricky. Look at Big E, right? And it's like for them to overcome that and the personal stakes that were involved there in their situations with their family lives and all that stuff. It's good to bring that to television to be able to set the stage for what came in this main event, which was a 3-segment tag title match that I thought was very good.
Yeah, and I mean, close to where Ivar lived makes me happy that he got that moment as well. Somebody said, I don't know about lovely guys. They are sincerely lovely guys. They told me a funny-ass story about Mark and Jay Briscoe, about how I think it was Ivar injured his ankle, and Jay was like, here, I'll show you how to tape it. And Mark Briscoe was like, hey, dumbass, that's not how you tape an ankle. And he was like, let me show you. And Jay's like, oh, go fuck yourself. And they start fist fighting while taping his ankle. And the next thing Ivar knows is he's got like 6 inches of tape around his ankle while these two guys are just slugging it out. And then they're hugging by the end of it. Just
they're the best. You know? They're the best.
The best. Miss Jay Briscoe so much. Well, guys, we had our holiday stream this weekend. We had Saturday night's main event with Andrew Baydala, who just killed it, did a great job as always. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. You can drop a comment as well. I will respond to them myself or Kyler will. And also remember FightfulSelect.com. There's Fightful Awards. I really want you guys to vote in these things. It means an awful lot to me. I'm doing a little subscription gimmick on Twitter where I talk about some things that wouldn't necessarily go on Fightful Select. It's $3 a month. Proceeds go to a nice cause. Buddy Boo, tell the people where they can find you.
Folks, you can find me at Backup Hangman on I was going to say on WrestlePerius, but yes. But like at Backup Hangman on Twitter, X. You can also find me on Blue Sky under the same name, backuphangman.bluesky.social. But you can find me there. I make posts about pro wrestling. I also tweet about other inane, stupid things. I talk about Monday Night Raw and other bits of pro wrestling on the WrestlePerius channel. Every Monday, you guys can find me, WrestlePerius Worldwide, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Mondays on YouTube. On Tuesdays, we have what's quietly becoming the flagship of the channel, the WrestlePerius Raw Review, where we don't review Raw, but we talk about things that maybe can sometimes pertain to Raw. It's unhinged. It's a lot of fun. You tend to get a lot of information and scoops just in the flow of conversation. It's usually very wild and chaotic, but it's a very fun Tuesday stream that we do every week. You can find me there. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me Mondays on YouTube on the WrestlePerius channel. So follow me. Thank you guys, not just Sean, but the audience for being so welcoming to me. This is my second stream now. And the way you guys have just been welcoming to me and complimentary of my time here so far is not gone unnoticed. I really appreciate it. And I'm still getting my feet wet, still figuring it out, Sean. You know what I mean? Still finding my way on Fightful. But I'm having fun so far, and I appreciate it. And I've made a lot of really, really good money to the tune of six figures. And I'm very, very happy about that. So much so that I've turned my camera on for you, Sean. So
you haven't submitted an invoice yet. You should do that.
Yeah.
You should submit an invoice.
I wish you saw. I was at work, right? The day I was supposed to do it. And I mentally told myself when I hit break, I'm going to make the invoice app and all that stuff. And I forgot. And then when I saw that it hit past midnight, I literally to the sky, like it's a movie scream. Fuck. And
so it's okay.
Yeah. But we'll figure it out.
The number of people that are late submitting their invoices. Denise was 3 weeks late one time.
Hell yeah. Folks, let's get some wine emojis in the chat if you are down with the Backup Hangman Hive. Hell yeah. Let's get some wine emojis in the chat. Another plug, Sean Rossap. Another plug. Since we're doing all these plugs and it's a holiday season, right? I will be on the Late Night Grin YouTube channel with my beloved, dear friend Joe Holbert, and on that channel we will be doing the 12 grins of Christmas, because Sean, over 12 separate occasions, we had conversations about God knows what, and we compiled all of it into a video for everybody on Christmas week. So if you're into that kind of weird shit, you can see that on the Late Night Grin channel at the end of December.
Fantastic, guys, check it out. Again, please subscribe to Fightful Select. We would greatly appreciate that. Until next time, my friends, we are out.